Hey, hey, hey! This is your girl Gloria from Heart of the City, San Diego! Going live on Facebook. What is up? Who is on? Jump in, join me. I want to talk with you guys. Jump in, jump in. Hey, hey, hey! All right, so I'm just gonna jump right into it and I can't see who's there. I see numbers going up, and thank you for being here with me. I can't see who's there though, so and I want to say hi. But anyways, my topic is about Ukraine, and yes, I am going to Ukraine. guys, we're all in. We're doing this. We're on our way. We're going together. You guys, my online community, you guys are going with me. If you are following my feed here on Facebook, you are going with me to Ukraine, okay? I have had some people donate funds, and if you go to the link in my bio, that's where you can follow if you're giving funds and you want to follow the page, then you can follow that page on my LinkedIn. So if you just go to my website on my bio, and you'll see where it says follow, then it says it has options to donate, and then you can follow the rising of the funds. So it's 2,200, and we are doing this, guys. We're doing this. Let me tell you. Here's how it's going to affect you, okay? This is the conversation that I'm having with people from all over. And, you know, honestly, the first person they gave is my homeboy, Al Sugioso. And I am so grateful because I don't know if you guys probably know this. There's a lot that I do in the community of San Diego. I'm a podcaster, but I'm not just, the podcast didn't start by me just saying, oh, I just want to do a podcast. No, the podcast has a crazy journey. Okay. I grew up, I'm from San Diego, born and raised here in San Diego. I'm from Southeast San Diego, to be more specific. and I grew up in a home that was insane. It was a broken home. My dad was an ex-convict. He did 10 years in San Quentin. He is a biker, and when I was growing up, he was a reformed ex-convict, with a tendency to what we would call backslide a little bit from time to time. we love him dearly. I love both my parents full-heartedly. We had the greatest times ever. I grew up riding almost pro status motocross, and I was a competitive motocross rider. And still own a motorcycle license to this day. But the journey goes on to a lot of crisis in my life. and, you know, if you don't know, a lot of us responders or first responders, we have this culture of, you know, making light of that. In order to cope, it's a coping mechanism. We joke these hideous jokes that make us laugh, but in the inside, there's pain, okay? My pain has had a tremendous amount of healing because of Jesus. Because of Jesus Christ and because of people that came into my life in my journey, that changed my life, that listened to my story when it was just raw. You know, the first people that came into my life, they weren't Christian. They were just good people who were my foster parents. My foster parents were, and this is a subject that I'm going to start to talk about You guys have never really heard me talk about my foster parents. Many of you, even my closest, well, my closest friends know this, but because they were on this journey with me, and they also have had major impact with my foster parents. But I got to live with them. I got to be their foster child, actually. My foster parents were Brad and Linda Humphrey, and Robert Humphrey was Bradford Humphrey's father, who was a Korean War veteran, and a professor at National University when National University first started. Professor Humphrey taught on the study of culture and man, which I think it's called anthropology or something. I don't even know the name. Anyway, that's what the study was. Now, I've always had adventure in my gut. It's just I was bred into adventure and crisis. So those two things together, and meeting the Humphreys really intertwined with each other, and they unlocked something that was inside of me, and that was my love for doing humanitarian work. Okay. And my foster parent, Bradford Humphrey, he was in National Geographic for some of his artwork, but he was also a known humanitarian, still to this day known, a known humanitarian. You know, not just people that go out and do stuff, but he was known to a high level. Okay, so, and so was his father, and so was his whole family, basically. You know, and Linda Humphrey was a professional artist, ballet dancer, and things like that. She taught me how to be lovely and graceful. And so that love and the conversations day in and day out have trained me to do what I do. And I didn't understand where it all came from, because I didn't really get in touch with that side of my story for years and years, because I let other people tell their stories, their testimonies, and I encouraged other people, but I didn't ever share mine. And so that's a really important part of my story, because that's the part where it all began to unlock, you know, what I love to do. And recently, it was a pastor friend of mine. In fact, he's my pastor, Pastor Mingo Palacio. He called me up and he says to me, he's like, you know, we were having this conversation. And he's like, I want you to do this online thing for Torrey Pines Church. And he says, you know, tell me if this is correct or not. He goes, but you work in projects, or what was the word that he used? He used, you work in like missions, or like, I forgot the word that he used, but like in a project, you're project oriented. And I said, yeah, totally. Like, I like to know that there's an end to this, to what I'm doing. I want to go in, do the project, and know that I'm making an impact. So he kind of unlocked something in my mind, and I was like, yeah, that's so true. And so it began to make me think, and then the opportunity to came up because I'm already a part of a team of chaplains that have been trained for our city in national disaster. Each person comes from all over different areas, all over the world, pretty much internationally. So this isn't me coming from San Diego as a crisis chaplain. This is people coming from all over different areas coming together in one place as crisis chaplains going to Ukraine. Okay, so we're all coming from all over different places. And so the teams are about 8 people each or something like that, and then we're going in waves. Okay, each person goes in with, then we relieve another wave. Okay, that those waves come back, and then another wave comes back in. Okay, and so I will be on one of those waves. In the link in my bio, it says wave 10. That could change because I'm trying to get into the earlier one. The dates are the April the 26th to the 6th. And so I'm trying to get onto the earlier one, not the later one. And so that's why you see that where it says wave 10, or it might change. So if it changes, that's okay. And the other thing that I want to highlight before I end this video is, I'm so grateful to all those people, but I, back to my story about the first person who gave, who donated, was Al Sugioso, Al Sugiosa, Al Sugi. I call him Al Sugi. So, he gave, and he was a part of, my Heart of the City San Diego became a veterans group in Pepper Park, 24th Street. Why Pepper Park is so significant to me is because that is the place where I learned how to ride motorcycles. Okay. My dad, we were always boating, and that was the launch pad that we always launched out because I grew up boating all my whole life. My dad was a fisherman as well. And we had it, on one of his jobs, he got a boat when we were little, and he loved that boat. We were happy when he was happy. We wanted him to stay happy. So we went boating. Okay. We took that boat out. And one day, and it was all sand dunes back there, back in the day. If you're local from San Diego, especially down in National City area, Pepper Park, we call it Pepper Park. None of the locals call that park Pepper Park. It's called 24th Street. So, way back there, it was a lot of dunes, much like Rosarita Beach, much like Pismo Beach, kind of a setting, right? So it was very much like that. It was a place that everybody went boating, and people started bringing out their dirt bikes and riding their dirt bikes and 4x4s, and it was the place to go. And as I started getting a little bit older, maybe 12 and 13, we seen these people come out with these motorcycles, and I was like, I stayed staring one day, and my dad goes, "You want a motorcycle?" And I was like, "Yeah," because he's into motorcycles. Okay, he's a biker, definitely, and I'm like the oldest, and he just really adored me, like to the highest level. He just thought that I took to everything, and he thought I was like the smartest person ever. So he loved to work with me. We worked together well. So he bought this motor. It was started with little mini bikes, little tiny mini bikes that he got, and he fixed them up. Gasoline smell and all of that. Just lawnmower engine or whatever. Anyways, I don't know. As if things didn't have any shocks whatsoever. So we rode them. We learned how to ride. Bunch of cousins and I, some of my cousins could have been pro motorcycle motocross riders themselves. They were hanging out with us. Those progressed to Suzuki 80, which was amazing and super fun to ride. If you've never ridden a Suzuki 80 with shocks and a two-stroke, I think it was, you're missing out. Those things are fun to ride. That progressed to, 125 and 250s. And, the bigger the engine, the taller it sits with bigger shocks and stuff. So a bit more dangerous, is what I'm trying to say, a lot more dangerous, and broken bones, gashed scars, and all kinds of stuff happen. So that comes along with it. That is not the fun part. The recovery part happens, and then you just do it again because you love it so much, okay? That's what crisis responders are like, okay? They're just like that. They like it so much, whatever is embedded in them from their past, from their lifestyle. You know, we don't like the fun. That it is not fun to go into crisis. The after effect of that is like, wow, we helped someone's life. Like, we actually saved their life. Do you know what I mean? And when that, if you've ever felt that before, that's very like addictive. And I basically, we don't do this alone. We do this as a team. We do this as, you know, people that just have it in them to do. And I'm not special. Please listen to the end of this video. I'm nobody special. That's my main gist of this message. I was listening to my Pastor Mingo Palacio this morning talk about the story. It's going to make me cry. Ah! But anyway, talking about the story of last week, it was Lawn Chair Larry. I could relate to Larry. Larry's my homeboy, okay? You got to go read that story. Lawn Chair Larry, look it up. Google it. You'll find it. The next one was when the soldiers came back. It's called Project Dynamo. Project Dynamo was some of the soldiers were stranded on the beach and exposed to the enemy. One of the, I think it was it the president or somebody? I got to redo the story. I might get it slightly wrong. But anyway, I think it was the president. He called upon all civilians, anyone who could help, right? He called upon everyone and anyone, not just military, everyone and anyone, to take their own personal vehicles to go and rescue these military guys that were stranded on the beach. Go get them out of there. Go get them. Anyone. And so people responded. Ordinary people. Men, women, I don't know. You know, anyone, everyone responded to this. And they were all apart. They were not, even if they were not even in the military. And this went into history as one of the, what Pastor Mingo says, one of the most out-of-box responses ever. Out-of-the-box responses, right? And I love that. I love the story of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Do you know what I mean? We all can play a part. And I want to choke up and cry because I was at work. You guys got to listen to this story, okay? I was at work and I did something terribly terrible. I had a lot on my mind about going to the Ukraine, and I was at my last nerve and I kind of irritated on someone. You ever done that before? I kind of just irritated on someone. And I was a little like sassy, snappy. I was snappy at him. And I had to go back and apologize, right? And I'm not usually like that, but I wanted to apologize. And so I went to go and apologize to this person. And it was a sweet little lady. I'm so embarrassed about this, but it was a sweet little lady who works there. And I had to apologize. And because of that apology, she found out that I was going to the Ukraine. And she says, I've been wanting to get involved, but I don't know how. I don't know what to do. And I'm so frustrated. I was really wanting to know how I can help with something to do with the Ukraine. How could I help? And she said, "Are you taking donations?" And I said, "Yes, yeah, I certainly am." And so she donated. She donated, and I was like so impressed. So my first responder was my homeboy, Al Sugi. He's my homeboy. And why? Because he's a part of the team of people that when I, Heart of the City San Diego, was just Gloria Medrano hanging out at the park in National City doing a Bible study. Broken, divorced, back from England, just doing a Bible study. Let me say that again. Broken, divorced, former church planter in London, England, doing a Bible study on a park bench, where it became military veterans. That later escalated to all kinds of other stuff in the city of San Diego, which then became Heart of the City San Diego podcast. And, you know, I don't know who's going to respond when I do the things that I do. And I was so proud of Al when he responded. He's just this humble guy that's, you know, he works with veterans. You would never know because he likes to be kind of like behind the scenes. He doesn't like, you know, me to say that he's done this or done that. He's going to probably be sassing at me later. But he's just this person that, you know, he just wants to quietly help, right? And there's just people like that. They just want to quietly help. But these people need to be shined the light on sometimes, you know. Sometimes they need to give, they're the ones that need the credit. Because I'm responding, yes, but I can't respond. I don't want to respond solo. That's the other message that my pastor gave this morning, Pastor Mingo Palacio. I don't want to respond solo. Okay. I've been working this community, working in San Diego and helping the San Diego veterans just, you know, at a park bench, just supporting them, just being there for them as their chaplain. And when I seen Al, the first person that gave was Al. I was like, Al is my homeboy. He is my homeboy, like legit. Okay. And then the next person that responded was my girl. Okay. My home girl, Teresa Verdecchio. Okay. Teresa Verdecchio, when she found out that I was going through a divorce, she was not the first one, but she was the first one to take me and to say to me, "I believe in you. God's not done with you yet." Okay. I've had other friends that they responded and, you know, they've been there all along, and I'm so grateful to, you know, to those people, but, and I love them dearly and they're like family to me. Teresa Verdecchio was more, she was more strong. She was more, almost like more of a pastoral figure, a respected person. And because I'm such a strong personality, I'm a sweet, gentle person, but I'm a strong, obviously I'm strong to do what I do. And I have this, that has to do with the strength of my faith base. My faith is I love God, right? And so another strong woman needed to come into my life to speak into my life. And that was Teresa, right? And she spoke in a way that And I have a respect for her because of her achievements, because of who she is and things like that, right? She were about the same age. And she spoke into my life and she said, God is not done with you yet. She said, you know, she began to start to speak into my life. And so Teresa, after Al Sugi gave, then and then who was my homeboy, my homegirl, Teresa Verdecchio gave to the Mission Ukraine for into my account. And you know, I was just like, these people, you know, Teresa, a respected person, and you would expect her to respond like that, you know. And she did exactly what, you know, you would have expected her to do. The other ones, you know, these are people that we're just all ordinary people, right? We're just ordinary people. I went through issues. I just believed that God wasn't done with me yet. And if I'm doing any kind of public anything, that's just me talking on my Facebook. You know, that's not me doing anything special, more special than anyone else. It's just me talking on my Facebook and taking action. The taking action part is so important. Some of us are going to take the action in doing, responding and going. Some of us are going to take the action in giving. Others are going to take the action in doing administration. We all play this together, not solo. We all do this in different ways. We're all just so different. So I don't want to be you. I want to be me. And this is how I am me. This is what I do. This is how I respond. These are just the things that I find myself in. And the thing is that I get results. Okay. I push a little bit. Some people, you know, don't understand what I'm doing, right? Especially my son, when he had a life change, and his new wife, both of them together. And I'm so proud of them, both of them. Proud. But it took a lot of togetherness in this situation. There were people that were helping him on one side, and mama was, you know, giving her life on the other side. Okay. And so, you know, God is a God that he allows us all to be who we are and function the way that we function. And I can't be inside of the box and function. Sometimes, I mean, you know, I want to be in the safety of that box, but a lot of times I find myself not in that. And those people, I'm so grateful for the people that are surrounding me at the moment who allow me to come out of the box. Okay. And they get it. They get it. Sometimes we need people that they get it, right? And so with that said, here's to all of the ordinary people that are doing extraordinary things, one step at a time, and not solo. Not solo. Everybody plays a part in it. And on my journey to the Ukraine, you guys are making me cry because I see you guys responding, and I see you guys believing in this mission, and I see you guys, you know, backing a homegirl up, your homegirl from San Diego. Okay. That said, I'm going to peace out because I'm going to head into work and do my regular job just like everybody else on my way to Ukraine.